94.5 The Zone drops the puck on Nashville Predators Hockey Talk. This is the Neutral Zone with Christopher Martell and Thomas Willis from the Sports Station 104.5 The Zone.
This is the Neutral Zone on 104.5 The Zone, brought to you by the great folks at Lion Zone Digital Media Services. I am Christopher Martell from Fox Sports Tennessee. This is Thomas A. Willis from the NashvillePredators.com. TheNashvillePredators.com.
So you can't just point at me when we're on the radio.
I know. It doesn't work that way.
I'm Thomas Willis.
Sometimes I forget that. People can't see me.
Yes. Right.
Oh, my gosh, Thomas. You know, we were talking about this beforehand, and this could be the show of shows.
One of our best shows.
I think so.
So I think people that know you would know. Just assume that this is the case, and it is. You feel that every show is going to be our best show.
And it always is. And it always is. It's always, every show gets better than the last
one. But when I put my name next to a show, which as I have before this one began, and said, this could be one of our best shows.
I mean,
you take that to the bank.
Kind of.
You take that to the bank.
You know, you got to have me come out there and say, hey, this is going to be great.
Right.
And this is going to be.
If you weren't, that'd be an issue because you say it every time.
Oh, boy. If I came out here and said, well, this is going to suck, then we would have a major problem.
I don't ever want to hear that show. I barely get through this one.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let me tell you what we got in store. We have Corey Hirsch, Canucks color analyst with Sportsnet. He'll be joining us in the show, as well as Daniel Lavender covers the Milwaukee Admirals. For Admirals Roundtable, best source of Admirals news and knowledge, everything there. We're going to talk press development camp, preseason schedule. We're going to talk Mike Hoffman and Erik Karlsson. We're going to talk a little, maybe we'll talk a little Roman Josi. We got a lot of stuff going on, but first up, it's the Coach's Challenge.
Coach's Challenge.
Thomas? Even though the season has ended, Everything is done, the Capitals have won the Stanley Cup, there is news in Nashville. Hockey news in Nashville. Just days after everything ends, development camp has been announced, the preseason schedule has been announced, everything is getting underway, and it's only 2 weeks away.
Right, for our first show where we've put the closing chapter on the 2017-2018 season,
yet
we've already got new news, and
New news.
Longtime hockey fans will remember that this next month after the Stanley Cup final ends is very busy. And there's a lot of news and the salary cap will be set. There's
people
the draft. There's free agency. It's when we get to August, that's when we'll be really digging up some topics.
Right.
You'll be spitting hot takes right and left.
But I am good at spitting out hot takes. I promise you this.
But for now, we're actually not too far away from hockey being right back in Smashville. We're less than 2 weeks away from development camp starting, which is crazy.
It's crazy to think that it's right around the corner. We will still have the draft, the awards, all this information, all this stuff coming up here soon. But yeah, development camp, just 2 weeks away, buddy.
So announced on Monday, development camp will be at the end of this month on the 25th of June through the 29th. And just like last season, you and I were at this, it will culminate with what's being called a Future Stars game at Bridgestone Arena. So it'll be very similar to a regular season game. I would imagine the format will be a bit different like it was last year. It was two halves last year with a shootout after each half. Like, why not, right? You know, it's like, let's have these prospects show what they can do one-on-one with a goaltender, maybe pull off some flashy moves and that sort of thing. But again, it's a lot of fun, and it's really good for your missing hockey and you need a fix somewhere in the summer.
Exactly.
You're waiting for the preseason to start. So that is just over 2 weeks away, that Future Stars game. Development camp is less than that. If you want to buy tickets, NashvillePredators.com is the place to be. You can find it easily there. They're $10 for the general public, but listen to this sweet deal. If you're a season ticket holder, they're free.
And you cannot become a season ticket holder right now.
So. You can't. So if you're one of the lucky 14,500 that are already season ticket holder,
you're in.
You made the right choice,
kid. In the building. So that's all. That's always good news. And, you know, there's some good names on this. And we'll talk with Mr. Lavender later in the show about this. But big names here, of course. Ellie Tolvanen is going to be there. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Tyler Moy, Rem Pitlick, some guys that are up and coming for the Predators. Dante Fabro is going to be there. And, of course, Yakov Trenin. His name's on the list, too. Interesting enough, there's been rumors swirling he's going to the KHL. We'll talk with Daniel about that, too, get his take on it. But there are some fairly good names on this development camp roster.
Right. Obviously, the two biggest ones are Tolvin and Fabro, the ones that people will be the most excited about.
I don't
about.
Know. I am excited about Hardy Haman Actel, if you ask me.
Best name in the Predators organization. Not even close.
He sounds like some kind of like Egyptian pharaoh. I expect him to come out like in regalia, you know?
And yet you guessed it. He's Swedish.
He's Swedish?
You got a 50-50 chance on this Preds roster, I know. It feels like.
Swedish or Egyptian? Swedish. Yeah, it's going to be Swedish. I'm sorry, yes.
Anyways, but my point was going to be, but don't miss out on some of these younger guys, these newer names. And of course, this roster will expand. So once the Predators complete the draft process on the 22nd, the 23rd, those at this point, four guys would come over in theory and join in on this roster.
You know who else had a great name that used to play for the Predators?
Wow, you're all over the place.
Sorry. Ramsey Abeid.
Sure.
Boy, that was such a great name, man. I wanted him to succeed so much with the Predators. I wouldn't be like this guy right here, Ramsey Abeid, best name in the NHL. And then he did nothing, you know? I'm sorry.
Sometimes
I
it's had not to all about the name.
Get a tangent right there. Sure. I apologize.
But yeah, so Tolvanen and Fabro are the biggest names to watch. So Dante Fabro, yeah, he's out.
Sorry.
Dante Fabro, of course, is still in college and looks like he will remain so for at least one more year. And we actually have a Twitter question about that. We'll get to that in the last segment.
Yeah.
But the expectation would be after that point, he would conceivably sign, go to Milwaukee, and become a big blue chip prospect for this organization. We know the Preds know how to draft defensemen. There's no question.
There's no question about that. I mean, they've got some pretty rangy guys here between 5'11 and 6'4. So it's a good mix, I guess, of everybody. They really only have two guys from the United States here. They've only got four Canadians and then three from overseas.
But then as for Tolvanen, we've talked about him a lot, I think, our last three shows.
Yeah, it's just still an interesting. We have Twitter questions, like you said, about that. But I mean,
right. For me, though, I'm just going to reiterate one more time. We've talked about how the Predators management has said this. I mean, friend of the show, Brian Poyle, said it just a few weeks ago.
Brian's
still a friend of the show. He, again, reiterated Peter Laviolette's comments of, this is a big summer for Tolvin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And between us, it starts at this development camp. So it was rookie camp, which, of course, is a company's training camp. So that'll be later on. But think back to not even that many years ago when Philip Forsberg at that rookie tournament at Ford Ice Center, I remember it was my first year with the Preds, so 2014, he just was clearly the best player. Like, he was driving the offense, these sort of things, and that just went right on into training camp. It went right on to the season, and then he was ridiculously snubbed, should have been a Calder finalist that first year. Philip Forsberg.
Yes.
And was absolutely excellent throughout that process, and I'm not saying that that's what Tolvanen could do.
No,
but he needs to start, right? Like, you can't disappear in development camp and then think, oh, well, he'll bring it back in training camp. No,
coaches remember that stuff.
He needs to clearly be the best player amongst this group of guys. That's what he was drafted to be, and that's what he's expected to be if he wants to be on the NHL roster.
And that's my biggest concern, you know, based on what we saw from him when he came over from the KHL after Jokrit's season ended.
Yeah.
We didn't see anything from
him.
So I'm concerned what we're going to see when we actually get to development camp and we watch Tolvanen with some of these rookies. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking he's going to be the favorite to be the top of the bunch. You know, he really, that's kind of my feeling. I think he's going to be the star of the show. But then you look at, okay, yeah, he's the best of all the prospects, but what about when you get to preseason camp?
Correct.
When you get to training camp, and how's he going to perform there? But you're right when you say that he has to have a great development camp. He has to. It has to be a good one.
I guess in a sense what we're saying is he should clearly be the best player of this bunch, right?
Absolutely.
So even at this, we're getting close to the NHL level. If you're going to be a full-time NHL player, more than likely not. Yes, hockey's a team game. It's different than other sports. It's not like the NBA. Well, clearly he's going to be the best player, right?
Right.
But even then, you should be able to notice just about every shift he takes in that Future Stars game, for example.
You want to be able to, and not in a negative way either. You want to be able to positively see these shifts and be like, he looks good.
Yeah.
He looks good.
Yeah, so I think it starts there for Tolvanen. And Fabro, again, remains the best blue line prospect. We'll see what he's able to do, even if he is a year or two away from professional hockey. Just the next day, earlier this week, Tuesday, the preseason schedule was announced.
Another fun day in the offseason.
Fun day in the offseason.
It's always the same teams every year. You never get to see any kind of switch up. But
except for one twist this year.
Tell the folks.
So Columbus Blue Jackets comes out of the rotation. The Carolina Hurricanes come in.
It's been a few years since they've been in that rotation, but it's not a first.
Yeah.
Carolina's been there before, but sure, all the Southeast
But you're right.
Teams,
it's been Panthers, Lightning, and Blue Jackets for like three or four years in a row. And here's the reason for this. I saw this on Twitter. Someone just didn't understand. So this is not NHL.
Someone not understanding on Twitter. Go ahead, Griffin.
Is that what that website's for? I don't understand. Just a quick point of clarification. So the regular season schedule is, of course, picked out by the NHL. Every team plays every team. There's divisional play, all these sort of rules. Preseason, teams actually get together and dictate what is the easiest, most accommodating schedule that they can have. That's the reason the Preds are playing these Southeastern hockey teams, and they're going to continue to, because mm-hmm. you want to be able to have a back-to-back. And preseason is even different from this, if you want some insight into this. So every regular season game, traditionally, if it's not a back-to-back, you fly in the day before or you travel after games. Preseason, you actually fly down the day of the game and then leave immediately and come back. Because again, it's for half the time, your roster is so big during training camp, you have basically the ability to field two teams. And you've got young guys that need to prove themselves and these sort of things. And you're getting in, you're getting out, and you're just trying to see, because Peter Laviolette always says this, what these prospects and what these players are doing in games, that matters the most. Even more so than what they've done in that practice at training camp, for example, or what they did on their off-ice workout. So because of that, you're going to see a lot of Tampa, you're going to see a lot of Florida, Carolina, and that's good. It's the preseason.
Right.
If you're waiting to see the Preds play a specific team, they're going to. They're going to play every single game. Every single team, rather, at Bridgestone Arena this season. Just wait. They're going to be here.
But see, here's the thing, though. You know, you talk about being able to, you know, make it a quick flight, being able to get down there and play these teams. And it just leads me to wonder, how come St. Louis is not on this preseason schedule?
Easy. Divisional play. Those games matter more than anything.
So, yeah, but it's still preseason. You're talking about, you know, travel time and making it a quick and easy transition to get to and from, especially on a game day.
Yeah, no, you rhyme. That's a great point. So that should be the further thing I should have said is, and you're always going to go Eastern Conference, easy matchups, that sort of thing. Ones that don't matter later on. The Preds hate the Blues, right? I'm innocent, don't they?
Yeah.
They're going to play each other.
That's why Atlanta was good when Atlanta was here, because that was such an easy trip, you know?
You're going to play the Blues five times in the regular season. You're going to play, again, that's why the Dallas Stars, that's not too long of a flight. You're not going to travel down to Dallas because you don't want to not necessarily show your hand and that sort of thing, but these are rivalries that you're not just going to throw these kids into the preseason. No, play Eastern Conference, teams you don't see that much. And I think it's exciting from a fan's perspective of, Tampa Bay is one of the best teams in the NHL. You get to see their young up-and-comers. And the Carolina, as we mentioned, we haven't seen in several years. So good to have them back in the rotation.
And you never know if Carolina will still have pieces like Jeff Skinner on that team or not.
Who knows?
Ryan O'Reilly
could be on that team by that point.
I know, right? You know, it's going to be an interesting summer, and that team could be completely different from July 1st to September.
So moving on from the preseason schedule to the one we care about the most, the regular season. Well, outside of the playoffs, I suppose. But... said earlier today on Twitter, actually, a week from tomorrow.
That'd be nice.
On June the 21st, the regular season schedule is expected to be announced. So you're going to have a jam-packed day there of the awards on Wednesday the 20th, regular season schedule announced on that Thursday, and then the draft starts that Friday night.
So we'll see, of course, Pekka Rinne win the Vezina Trophy, P.K. Subban win the Norris Trophy. I'm just saying, all the hardware is coming to Nashville, and then you'll have the schedule release the next day. It's going to be great. It's going to be good times.
All right, we only have a minute to get into it, but we wanted to be sensitive.
We wanted
to be sensitive as we did. So, allegations. This is just such a crazy story. We have to touch on it. There's not much of a Preds tie, but it is so crazy that I think we wanted to talk about it.
Well, okay.
So, allegations came out earlier this week that Mike Hoffman's fiance essentially was cyberbullying Erik Karlsson's wife. So
berating her after she lost her child.
So Mike Hoffman, of course, is a forward for the Ottawa Senators. So his significant other trashing, attacking the Karlssons, who, of course, is the team captain.
But he didn't even deny it. That's what I'm saying. He said, well, we're looking into it. We're seeing what's going on.
And then he said, 150% chance we didn't do
but
it.
But he said 150. Why would you say 150 for it? And what's even worse?
Yeah.
And this is what makes the allegations seem somewhat closer to reality. All the wives of the players hopped on Twitter on board this. We're like, oh, you know, this is not surprising. She's been doing this. And I'm like, wow. Yeah,
so there's the tie-in, of course. Kyle Turris acquired from the Ottawa Senators earlier last season, was on that team. So his wife was one of the ones that stepped up and said, like, this doesn't surprise me. So that's what's crazy. And the reason that that could matter is Eric Carlson already was rumored to be on the trading block.
He's so
now
gone.
It really seems like he's gone.
So gone.
Is Mike Hoffman gone too? So I honestly, you hate to say it, but you feel pretty bad for the Ottawa Senators organization. Well, what a tough spot to be in.
You know, when you're in an organization like that, and maybe if you're making disparaging comments for somebody, or maybe you are, maybe you aren't, maybe what you need is a new website to kind of get that all out of the way.
And to just make disparaging comments?
No, to like move that out of your life and get something new in your life. You know, okay, maybe you sure. need a new.
What do you need?
You
need Lion Zone.
With solutions and hosting, email, search engine marketing, e-commerce, and more. Lion Zone's experienced staff will bring your business to life. It's time to get results from your website. Give Lion Zone a call at 615-353-0402 or visit them online at www.lionzone.com. Lion Zone, Nashville's leading internet marketing agency since 1999 and title sponsor of the Neutral Zone. After the break, we're joined live by Corey Hirsch of Sportsnet. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lion Zone on 104.5 The Zone.
John Wayne. Welcome back. Neutral Zone powered by Lion Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Former NHL goalie, goaltender, coach, and currently a color analyst for the Canucks on Sportsnet, Corey Hirsch is our guest. Corey, thanks so much for taking the time this evening.
Oh, always love talking to you guys. What's going on in Nashville these days?
Corey, it's hot. I'll just tell you straight up, it is hot. It's not feeling great.
So I actually had some visitors from New York today, and they kept complaining about it. And I was like, honestly, guys, the humidity's not as bad. This actually is better for us. It could be even worse.
Do you get stuff like that up there in Vancouver, Corey?
Actually, I'm in Arizona, so I do it the way the smart people do. During the winter, I'm in Vancouver.
Smart.
During the summers, I'm in Arizona, right? I mean, that's genius.
Yeah, that's exactly how you should do it.
Oh, man. But it's hot. It's about 109 today, so I feel your pain.
Pass.
Yeah, humidity is our issue for sure.
But right, exactly.
Let's jump right into it. You, of course, you spent time in net in the NHL. You coached as well. And we're interested leading up till next week, of course. The Preds goaltender, Pecorine, is a Vezina finalist. I would even argue the expectation is that he'll win. But what did you make of his season? I know the Preds only played the Canucks, I guess, three times, but it was so strong at the age of 35. He kind of changed his style of play, but then coming up short in the playoffs, we've had some fans and pundits around here say, oh, well, maybe his year wasn't as good as it appeared. But what did you make of his season?
Well, I thought, again, like everyone thought, he had a great regular season. You know, that was a tough series. That was a really tough series in the playoffs. That's a team that's fast, Winnipeg, that could score, right? So you had two teams that were mirror images of each other. And, I mean, really, it came down to, you know, one last game. And if Pekka plays well in that game and they win, we've got a different story right now, right? But he plays in one 60-minute game, he didn't play very well. And we're all sitting here going, okay, well, that's great that he had a good regular season, but what about, you know, what about what happened in the playoffs? But here's what I would say. There are approximately, you know, I would say 28 other teams in the National Hockey League that would love to have a goalie that's taken them within one game of winning a Stanley Cup, right? So I know that it's tough to swallow what happened in the playoffs, but I mean, he's still a great goalie, and he's going to win a Vezina trophy. I think what Nashville might want to look at, and this is personal opinion, is that, you know, they're going to have to back off his minutes a little bit next year. He's not getting younger. I think that, you know, they could had that long season the season before, right? You know, maybe it was too much hockey this year. You know, maybe they got to back off his minutes a little bit so that he stays fresh for the playoffs.
You know, speaking of backing off his minutes, we talked in the last couple of weeks about how splitting up the load with UC Saros in the upcoming years, especially next year, is going to become a huge point for the Predators. What do you think in terms of splitting that kind of load, maybe preparing Saros to become the eventual starter? Where do you think the line is there?
Yeah, well, you have to do that, right? I mean, eventually he's I would have loved to have played in the NHL for, you know, 20 years and played forever and still be playing. But obviously, you know, age and talent kept me from doing that. But, you know, with Pekka, yeah, you got a 50-30 split, you know, okay. That would be good. Something like that. 45-35 type split. I think eventually, yeah, you have to do that, right? Because as guys would love to play forever, but we know that he's not going to be able to. I don't think he's running out of gas in terms of, you know, should they move him or anything right now at this point. I think he's still got some good years left in him. But yeah, I think if you're Nashville, I mean, you guys watch this year. What did you guys see? What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think the critics were out there early. Saros lost his first three games of the season, but for me, this was really a solidifying year for him. I mean, he was able to, he was able to come in and he was put in a lot of bad spots. They basically started him every second half of a back-to-back, and yet he really got on a roll toward the end. So, yeah, I think...
Yeah, so, right? So maybe it's his time. And then you say you got that back-to-back start. That's a tough one, mm-hmm. right? I mean, because even your teammates are looking at you like, God, please let him steal one for us. So you're right. Maybe he is ready.
Well, you know, that brings up another question. When it comes to a player who, you know, may be kind of getting towards the end of their career, I guess. You saw this season in Vancouver, the Sedins come to the final, their final part of their career. What's in store for the Canucks now that the Sedins will no longer be a part of that team?
Well, as respectful as I can be to the Sedins, because I love them as players and as human beings, they just got too slow, right? So it made the Canucks slower. And we've seen this league, it's fast. It is young and it is fast now. So I think that the Canucks will actually be a better team, maybe not next year, but, you know, in a couple of years without the Sedins, just because of, you know, speed. And they were great on the power play, but the Canucks are going to bring in some young guys, some fresh talent. You look at when Pittsburgh won the Cup, the difference, what happened was they weren't playing well up until Christmas, the last time they won the Cup. And they infused a bunch of young guys in at Christmas time, and that seemed to really help them with speed and take off, right? So I think you'll see the Canucks be a faster team, a quicker team. They're just going to be really young, and it's going to take a couple of years. But I think they'll be a little bit more competitive, but it's going to take time because you lose that in the locker room, right? You lose the city in the locker room.
Yeah. Corey Hirsch of Sportsnet is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter, at Corey Hirsch. And I don't have too much more time with you, so let's get into quick more questions. How do you see the Central and the Pacific Division shaping up next year? I mean, right, we had the Vegas Golden Knights come out of nowhere to win the Pacific Division. I think the Central maybe was a little bit more as the experts would have predicted. Maybe did the Blackhawks bounce back, for example? Where do you see the Ducks? Like, where do you kind of see those two divisions shaping up next year?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I see the teams that like Chicago, did they got slow all of a sudden? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, did you guys see that? And all of a sudden, Jonathan Toews looked slow, right? I mean, and good for them. They won three cups, right? I mean, it's good for those guys, Duncan Keith. So I'm not sure. Chicago would be different. I mean, Crawford was hurt most of the year, so that'll help. But I don't see them, you know, I see some changes there. Anaheim got old all of a sudden. Perry gets left. Like, you're seeing teams start to age now. And like I said, the league is fast and young. So the younger, faster teams, I think, are going to start taking over. You look at, I mean, Nashville's got speed, right? And they're big up the middle. They've got six defensemen that can play. But when I looked at Nashville's roster on their back end and I compare it to Vancouver, there's maybe one player in Vancouver that would be a top six defenseman in Nashville, right? I mean, because they're the envy of the league on defense. So I think Nashville will be good again. Dallas is going to be tough. Vegas, and you guys help me out on this, because I've been wrong on them so many times.
Hey, us too.
And next year, I see them with pressure on them. I see a team that played with zero pressure this year, right?
Yeah.
Every game they went into. Next year, I see pressure on them. So let's see how they handle that, right? Mm-hmm. Now you've got a whole different scenario. But, you know, I said LA would beat them, and they didn't. I said San Jose, and then I said, and then finally I started saying, okay, well, then maybe they're a team of destiny. They're going to beat Washington. And Washington ends up beating. So I was wrong all the way through.
We were right there with you every step of the way.
Uh-huh.
Well, and I think honestly, I did the exact same thing, because I was like, well, after they beat Winnipeg, I was like, okay, there's no stopping them now.
I kept waiting for that shoe to fall off. I just never did.
And then they win game one, and then Washington wins four straight. It's like, man, that's why it's the toughest trophy to win.
Winnipeg was a good team. Like, Winnipeg, Nashville didn't lose out to, you know, one of the, they lost to a good hockey team, right? So Vegas goes in there and beats Winnipeg. same thing. Winnipeg wins game one, and then Vegas wins four straight. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, right? I know. Unbelievable. So,
I still like Nashville, though. I still like them next year. I think they'll make a couple of small changes. Mm-hmm. And I think if they back off Rene's minutes, I think it'll help them.
We'll end you on a simple one, a fun one. We ask all our guests this, at least recently. October 1st, where is John Tavares? Where is Erik Karlsson? What teams do they play for?
Oh, good question. Did you guys see did you guys see the Karlsson thing today?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Right? So, okay, well, that throws a wrench
He's
right
He's going to be back in Ottawa, guys, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, after I'll let you guys explain it after Monday off the air. But, that's going to throw a wrinkle in. I think Ottawa keeps them, though. I think these two, you know, if money's the issue, then, yeah, they'll move them. But he's too good of a player to move. John Tavares, I hear Lou Lamoriello is calling him, like, every day right now.
He should be.
like showing up on his door, knocking on, you know, like hey, buddy. It's 50-50 for me. I think he either ends up in Toronto or on the Island. Mm. I think the Toronto makes some moves, and I don't think he'll go anywhere else. I think he'll either stay on the Island. He's a loyal guy. He's a good teammate. He wants to win. The Islanders, Lou going there has actually probably increased the chances that he'll stay on the Island.
Corey Hirsch, former NHL goalie coach and color analyst for the Canucks on Sportsnet. Corey, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Always. Anytime, guys. Sounds good.
You do the same. You know, just some interesting stuff there, especially with Karlsson.
Yeah.
I mean,
we haven't gotten that answer yet.
I know. That's like the first. I mean, hey.
And Tavares to Toronto. Are you kidding me? They already have some of the best odds to win the cup, according to Bovoda.
Oh, my gosh. Well, up next, we're going to welcome our second guest of the evening program, Daniel Avender, who covers the Preds for the AHL affiliate Milwaukee Admirals from Admirals Roundtable. He'll be our guest. You're listening to The Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone.
Genesis.
Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone, at Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter, 615-737-1045. That is our number here in the studio. We'll open up the phone lines in the next segment, but we're going to answer your Twitter questions and all that stuff then. For now, though, we're going to be joined by Daniel Lavender, the one and only man behind Admirals Roundtable, to talk this month's development camp, top Preds, prospects, and more. Lavender, buddy, how are you?
Good. I mean, you guys saying it's hot in Nashville and humid? Oh, man.
Okay, what's the weather like in Milwaukee?
Snuck up on us again.
Yeah. It's actually been pretty nice, to be honest. It felt like we had like a monsoon season for a brief period, but everything's good.
Oh, my gosh. It's like 95 and like 6,000% humidity here in Nashville.
Here's the thing. I have been perfectly molded, adapted. I've lived in Nashville my whole life. So, like, this humidity, this weather, whatever, like, I'm not going to say, though, I'm experiencing some allergies right now. But, like, it's funny to me. Like, I almost get defensive about it. Like I was saying earlier, like, I had people be like, oh, it's so hot. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is low humidity. It could be much, much worse.
See, I don't have a problem with the heat. It's more just that humidity that will just, like, make you, oh, man, I forget it.
Well, Daniel, we wanted to get your expertise, not only the Milwaukee Admirals, but some of these prospects that you just get a better, honestly, you see them more than Martel and I do, for example. But you've seen, just right off the top, you've seen this development camp roster, Tolvanen, Fabro, those are the names. We talked about them early on. But what are the names that stick out to you? Is Trinan one of them, for example? Like, who are the guys that you want to see have a big camp out of?
Trinan is one of them if he's there. It's one of those things, as soon as I saw that name was on there, I was like, boy, that, like, is he going to get moved during the NHL draft or anything? Like, it's just one of those things where there's been so much circulating about him in his first year. Like, he had a pretty significant injury, but it wasn't anywhere close to what you'd have hoped it maybe has been. But otherwise, like, a thing that I've just almost circled immediately just in terms of what the landscape of the organization is and what it'll be for the Milwaukee Admirals is actually the goaltending, because you look at what things are right now for Nashville. It's like you just had a discussion on, like, Pekka Rinne's age, leaning on minutes, transitioning to Saros. But beyond that, what is there? That's a very silent conversation, and it should be one that should be a bit scary, because let's say, and I mean, been dodging this bullet for a bit, but let's say Pekka Rinne and Juuse Saros get injured both at the same time next season. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Nope.
Because, I mean,
please no.
I mean, yeah, you put it nicely.
Never let that happen.
So, I mean, like, yes, you got a guy in Grosnick who had, like, he was, what, got the AHL Best Goalie Award, like not this last season, but the season before, and he tapered off this year. But now you're looking at bringing in two guys who have no North American pro experience, Nicholas Westerholm, Miroslav Svoboda, and they both have actually multi-year entry-level contracts to them. It's like, you got to see what you got there. And the first real time you're going to get a sense of how far off are they, how thrown off are they by the smaller ice surface, a faster game, it's just more direct, getting traffic on them. How are these guys going to react to stuff like that? You're actually going to see that at this development camp.
And speaking of Westerholm and Svoboda, have you seen any of their body of work so far? I mean, because I know I haven't, but have you seen anything of theirs?
Well, I mean, there's only so much even on YouTube of some people right. like this, you know? That's the thing that was fun, like when that, and people ask, like, well, what's it like doing these development camps? Like, well, one of the first things I like to go down there is, like, how do I pronounce some of these guys' names?
Yeah, for real.
there's a guy that had signed near the start of the offseason in Carl Persson, and it's like, well, look some places, is it Carl or is it Calais? Because, like, it's very weird. But you look for video on a guy like that, and there's really only one video, and it was basically like the Victor Agesil video, and he was just happened to be in the background of it. So there's only so much you can find on this, but what I would say is I think that the Nashville Predators scouting staff has such a very good track record of finding some of these guys, especially out of Europe, even mostly you could say with goaltending as well. I mean, they have a great track record on this stuff. So you kind of can throw a couple of red flags down and just leave them up as like yellow flags for right now because you don't know. But I think the scouting staff is usually pretty good on this stuff.
Now, Daniel, we know the top four. We've actually ended up indirectly talking about it in our first two segments yes. on the fence. Like, it is excellent. But if there is a pairing that could be improved on this Predators team, it's the third one. And we're assuming it's Irwin and Weber right now, but maybe it's not. Maybe one of the moves. Maybe Betedo comes in.
Yes. Maybe, no.
Yeah, maybe Eric Carlson plays on the third pair. No. So my question would be this, and funny you mentioned names because I say this differently than some, but Alex Carrier, in my opinion, would probably be the next guy up for Milwaukee or one of the better defensive prospects. A, is that true at all? And then B, like, what's your scouting report on him? If he were to, in this hypothetical situation, come in line and maybe play a game in Nashville again.
Well, the first thing is, you got the name absolutely right. It's yes. Carrier.
Perfect. See, Thomas, you got it.
There is that. The other jokey thing for him is it, do you prefer Alex or Alexander? Mm-hmm. So I just go Alex because that's what he says. But, I mean, this last season for him was really tough, but you actually have to take it to everything in context, like for especially the whole Admirals last season. It was such a young defense, and you really leaned on a guy like him who just had a first pro season. It was really, really good, but in his first pro season, he had him mainly paired up with a guy and Adam Party, who's a veteran, who he's able to really pick his brain a bit and just really understand things that he needs to be doing and paying more attention to. You took that away this season. He had to do everything really on his own. People in Nashville probably don't really maybe look into this unless they're plunging into stuff that I write by Alex Carrier. He's a right shot. He was playing on his off wing for the majority of this last season because of necessity, and he has the best amount of skill set to be able to account for playing on his off wing. So it was a weird season for him, but at the other side of things, there's probably a good reason why he's not at this camp this season, apart from doing it previous times, is he really needs a full summer of strength and conditioning so he can really be running through like a wall by the end of a season. I felt like last summer, obviously up in Nashville as a black ace, not really playing, but you're there. Your summer is getting shorter and shorter, and then you're doing rookie camp immediately, and then you're before you know a preseason camp is upon you, and you really haven't had a full season to just commit to strength and conditioning. Guys like him, Anthony Richard, they get to do that this off season. Jack Doherty. I actually feel a person who's very interesting, and he's at this camp is Frederick Allard because he had such a really good first year. You hope he doesn't get into that carry vortex of maybe getting passed with too much during an off season, but he really showed well, and it's that first year experience and what he does with it that interests me.
Now, Daniel, some of these we know that Dean Evason's gone. He's no longer the coach. What's next for this Admirals team? There's a lot of changes. Of course, a new coach is coming in. Scott Nichol is now the general manager. What's next for this organization?
I was almost going to open with it. It's like, yes, everything's great with Nashville. They have the President's Trophy and all that. And things are like pretty stacked there. But if you disassociate NHL, AHL, you just listen to the context of a team. This is a team that didn't make the playoffs, that lost its general manager, that is losing its longtime head coach. More than half of the roster that was existing is being turned over and will leave. This is going to be such a busy offseason. And when it comes for first day of free agency, people in Nashville see the Predators are signing people they've never heard of. That's okay, because Milwaukee needs those guys so badly right there. We don't have a roster. So there's a lot that needs to be worked out. And I keep thinking it is bittersweet for Dean Evason, because he did such an amazing job. And there's so many people on that Nashville roster that can attest to the work that he's done and the stuff that coaching staff in Milwaukee's done to prepare them to be doing the things that they now are. But is it the worst thing after a season that was this difficult to go in a different direction and try something new? It just feels like it might be time. So I think there's more reason to be optimistic than down, because with vacancies, there comes opportunity. And it's important to see what guys who come in do with that opportunity.
Daniel Lavender's been our guest. You can follow his work at Ads Roundtable or him personally at Dr. Admirals. Daniel, leave us on this thought. And I hate to ask you this because I feel like this is all you get asked, but if there is an Admiral to make this Predators roster out of camp or to come up and maybe have some extended time, who would be your name or names on that list?
Well, it's got to be Freddie Gaudreau, right? Okay. If you just get outright got a name drop, like who's the most NHL ready out of anyone who played significant time in Milwaukee, like this past season, to be him? And if not him, looking past that, who would it be? You'd almost want to say out of what there is there on the roster, in depending on whatever crazy moves that could happen, especially when we're bringing up the third defensive pairing. Maybe a guy like Alex Carey, after a full summer of really getting good conditioning and being able to sit back and kind of process things a bit and come in 100%. That would be a guy who would be interesting, especially if there's enough of an opening to that door where he could squeak in there and get it.
He's Daniel Lavender, Admirals Roundtable. Daniel, thank you so much for the time tonight.
Fix that humidity by the time I come down there for rookie camp.
We'll try, buddy. We'll try. I promise.
We definitely have that power, so it just takes time. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, there's got to be a temp setting, right? Like, I got to be a tourist for a little bit when I'm down there.
Exactly.
After the break, we'll answer your Twitter questions. Take maybe a phone call if you want to call in. It's the Neutral Zone powered by Lion Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Zone powered by Lion Zone, rolling it on home. It's the final segment. You can catch us each and every week throughout the summer at 6 p.m. on this lovely station. I'm Thomas Willis, Christopher Martell. We got an abundance of Twitter questions this week. You can reach us, of course, there at Neutral Zone 104.5. Or if you want to call in and yell at Martell, because I always love to see it.
Yeah, I'll do that.
The number here in the studio is 615-737-1045. But we've already got a lot of Twitter questions, maybe more than normal, even, I would venture to say.
No, definitely more than normal, yeah.
So we're going to roll right into them without further ado. There are a variety of topics. Some we've touched on, some we've previewed, but I'll ask it, you answer it, and let's just go that way. Our loyal listener at Boyd_1212, who in UFA land could be a recipient of the Classic Poyle one-year, $1 million hot deal free agent special this offseason?
Oh, my God. That is a great question.
So I've got a couple ideas I've thought of. So again, okay, to his point, Scott Hartnell was this year, right?
Yeah.
So in the past, we've seen Derek Roy, Mike Ribeiro, all these sort of names. And I don't know that forward is necessarily where they would go. One name that comes to mind, that would be Chris Kunitz.
Okay.
Veteran presence there. However, back to my question with Lavender.
Crazy to think he's 38.
He's quite old. Back to my question about Lavender, though, I think it's the third pairing that you could potentially see some change.
Okay.
So what if you bring in another veteran defenseman on a one-year kind of deal sort of thing like that?
Seidenberg's a good option. I mean, he's 36. He's 2 years younger than Kunitz.
Sure. You've got Greg Patarin from Dallas, who, like, he was hurt but had a pretty good year. Maybe that's a name that could be brought in, like, for example.
Quincy had 18 games in Minnesota last year. I mean, he's definitely an option.
Yeah, so to Lavender's point, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Admirals roster filled out because it's so void.
Johnny Oduya.
Yeah, but maybe that veteran defenseman gets that cheap deal and ends up proving himself and ends up being a part of this team. You just never know. It's funny to me, I'll end on this, it's funny to me every year you see the Preds play in like October, November, and you're like, oh, this is the roster, this is the team. And then you look at it back from the playoffs and you're like, oh, they switched like four players that are like aren't even a memory anymore. Pontus Aaberg, I'm looking at you. Here's the next question from at On Demumbrian Street. I think it's the first time he's ever tweeted in. I know you're flooded with a lot of topics, but I promise this is different. I see that the third pair is a liability. He sees the third pair is a liability. Do you think we'll want to upgrade that pairing in free agency or another way?
Yeah, I think so. Really? I think they're going to have to at least...
Even with the new two-year deals for Irwin and Weber?
Bring in somebody. Challenge Irwin and Weber to be better.
Do you see either one of them leaving then?
Irwin or Weber?
Yeah.
Not with the two-year deals, no. And not unless they, I don't see them trading one of them off.
What about Beteta? He's on a one-year deal.
That's the one I think is a variable in this equation. So I would say he either becomes the perma-scratch, the healthy, inject him into the lineup whenever needed, something like that. But I say bring in a veteran. Absolutely bring in a veteran. I thought Yellen did a really good job whenever he was in. So, try it again.
He asked another question, which you already answered, about Demon coming up from the lower levels. We just talked about that in our last segment. It seems like Alex Carrier would be the number one guy on that list. At SP underscore Peterson 6, what are the expectations for people involved with the team for Ellie Tolvanen? Now, that's someone we've talked about a lot.
We're going to talk about this again.
I love how that's phrased. I'm like, am I involved with the team? I don't know. But I think you heard it outlined pretty clearly by Peter Laviolette. So David Poile was maybe a bit more bullish, a bit more optimistic, but Laviolette said in his end-of-season press conference, he needs to have a big summer. He needs to train. He needs to take that next step and learn that you need more burst at the NHL level than you do at any other one. You need the commitment each and every night to be a full-time player. So I would say cautiously optimistic, but if you're hearing people or other sources telling you this guy, he's totally on the roster, he's in the top six, that sort of thing, I would definitely pump the brakes on that. We've said that a lot. So he could definitely make the team out of training camp, maybe in a top nine role, but I would say it's very much 10-ish goal sort of thing if he makes the team. I don't think that they're as fully committed to him as maybe some fans would be.
My expectations are low. Yeah. If he surprises me, great. If he doesn't, then I haven't expected more out of him.
Right. Well,
I'm gonna leave it right at that. We've addressed this so much in the past couple of weeks.
Exactly. And I think we're still spilling over from the fact of was he hyped more than like almost any acquired player, definitely any draft pick going into the playoffs. I mean, I think there were a lot of fans that were expecting him to just come on and lead this team all the way to a championship. That didn't happen. I think he didn't for a reason, and that's okay. You see guys, we say this all the time, Kevin Fiala, Philip Forsberg, Cale Yarncroft, it oftentimes takes years to become a full-time NHL player. We'll see if that's the case for him. At underscore FMFT baller manager. Wow, what a handle that is. If our defense stays status quo, do you see Fabro, meaning Dante Fabro, we talked about, staying in school and pulling a VZ?
I don't think he pulls a VZ. I think he stays in school.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a silly thing to say at this point.
It's never a silly thing to say when it happens to Nashville Predators, Thomas.
I think pulling a VZ is kind of a funny term to try. So what he's alluding to is the fact that when you're in college, just like other NCAA sanctions, that's what you're doing, right? The Predators are not paying him. You're a college athlete. No. He should still be in school at this
point. Absolutely. I think
it would stun his growth to send him to Milwaukee this way. So no, I see those two things. I don't see those things going hand in hand. So he could absolutely go back for another year at BU. He could even have a good development camp and then maybe sign his entry-level deal. I would not be worried about it just because Jimmy Vesey went that route that all of a sudden every collegiate prospect is going to go that route. That's all I'm saying, right?
That's fair. Like, I agree.
Finally, Michael Burgett, at Michael Burgett is his handle. Yeah. If you're picking someone on this year's Preds team to be on the cover of the upcoming NHL 19, I guess it would be EA NHL 19 game, who would you pick?
Easy.
This is easy for me too.
PK Subban.
It's PK Subban.
It has to be PK Subban. He is the face of like the league.
If I can be honest, I'm surprised he hasn't been on it.
Yeah.
Especially with the Montreal Canadiens, even when I felt like, everyone was like, oh, the Canadiens are so historic and tradition. What a franchise. And they've got PK Subban. Like, I absolutely could see him be on that cover someday.
He is the biggest personality in the league. Yeah. I mean, he has to be there.
Well,
I'm glad we both came to this conclusion.
Yeah, well, and
we didn't even talk about this before the show.
we talk about very little before the show, unfortunately. Sometimes that rings true. But yeah, I mean, you've seen that even this year. He's one of the top athletes for Adidas. I mean, his brand is so strong, all these different things that he does. And, like, I mean, there are so many fans that became Nashville Predators fans on June 29th, 2016, yeah. when he got traded to this team. So, hey, EA, if you're listening to this, I don't know why you would be, but if you are, you can maybe sell some more copies of the game if you put PK Subban on it. We'll see.
Yep.
The final thing we want to touch on, now, this wasn't directly a question per se. I know you engaged with it on Twitter to a point.
Yeah, but yeah.
I don't want to condemn them before you even speak on the topic, but some interesting takes, shall we say, about the leadership on this Predators right. team, Roman Josi specifically. I guess questioning whether he should have been named captain.
I think the best way to really...
I don't believe...
Is this the Kobayashi Maru?
The Kobayashi Maru. Yes, it is leadership.
Of the week.
Wow. Okay,
that was dynamite.
Ryan Mudd behind the glass coming in hot. That I love it.
Dynamite.
It is leadership.
Scared the hell out of me, right? Thank you. Okay. Okay. So when you I think the best way to really put this is Roman Josi is the captain of this team.
For Roman Josi, myriad of reasons.
Yes. First and foremost, he was picked captain of the team by the players.
Meaning these men were saying, I want to follow him.
Exactly.
I want him to be my leader.
And none of these players are coming back saying, well, you know what? I've changed my mind. You know, Ryan Ellis, who would have been the captain, if not Roman Josi, said Roman Josi needs to be the captain.
Secondly, I would say you need to separate. A captain in the NHL doesn't just mean you're the best player. I think we get into that, right? It's like, oh, who's the best player on that team? Boom, he should be the captain. No, how many teams are there where you have a fourth line center that's a captain? You have these different things that do that sort of ability. So Roman Josi is not just doing this by himself either. His role as the captain is to be the liaison between the management and the team. And he's got a lot of guys helping him.
Yes, and if you're looking statistically, oh, well, you know, Roman Josi didn't have a great playoffs. The Predators kind of bombed out in the second round. You know, they really didn't have a good effort. And if you
Game 7, maybe.
Okay, yeah, just Game 7. But if you want to talk statistically, I mean, Roman Josi was the third best possession defenseman. I mean, 53% Corsi 4 is a fantastic percentage for defensemen, especially in the playoffs. And he wasn't, I mean, he did everything he could have done. Did he score enough goals? Have enough assists? Did he have enough points? No, he didn't. But
Number
you know,
one, he's a defenseman.
He's a defenseman. I mean, it's just it's mind-boggling to me. I don't know. It is what it is. You know, I
mean, as a fan, you should be ecstatic that he's a part of this Predators organization and he's the captain.
Yes.
Roman Josi is one of the best defensemen in the entire league. Don't forget that.
For Thomas, you can reach me on Twitter at Tom A. Willis. Tom A. Willis. You can reach me on Twitter at @KMart_sports. You can reach the show at NeutralZone1045. Hit us up. Tweets, comments, concerns. We can get them in the next show. But this has been another episode of The Neutral Zone. We'll be with you next Wednesday for another episode. Neutral Zone, powered by Lion Zone on 104.5 The Zone.